Chapter 6. Intrusion. Trial by Earth. The smell of the underground corridors stung at the back of Numitor's sinuses, alien counterseptic mingling with the ice-cold tang of liquid nitrogen. Every footstep echoed loudly. The advance of Squad Numitor's battle brothers sounded like the rumble of an oncoming storm, caught and amplified as it rolled down the curving white corridors that led from the civilian housing area deeper into the labyrinth. No matter, thought Numitor. The 8th Company cared little for stealth. Neither did their brothers in the 5th come to that. Antelion's squad were making just as much noise as his own. The Ultramarines existed to bring glorious destruction, not to skulk like assassins, and once the leaders of the enemy military had fallen, they would fulfill that duty in great measure. In the middle distance, a wide circular door gave a soft chime. The light array above it winked red, and curved metal panels slid to bar the passage of the oncoming Space Marines. Already striding forward, Sicarius raised his plasma pistol. The barrel was dangerously close to Numitor's head. He closed his eyes on reflex, not a moment too soon. There was a crackling roar, a wash of intense heat, and the smell of burning hair, the stubble on Numitor's scalp judging by the stinging pain across the side of his head. His vision was a white blur for a moment, then a tracery of blood vessels faded away to leave his sight unmarred. He ground his teeth, stifling his reprimand. Duty came first, and the 8th could ill afford more division. Ahead, a glowing yellow-white circle had been burned right through the door. Sicarius was already walking towards it, checking for hostiles before elbowing through the opening in a spattering of molten gobbets. Numitor climbed through after him, the rest of the strike force close behind. A well-lit corridor stretched out before them, glowing lumens ranged along its curving ceiling. Interspersed along its length were tall, lozenge-shaped doors with portholes of transparent material down their center lines. With Sicarius so keen to take the vanguard, Numitor took stock of his surroundings, the better to watch for potential ambush. He paused at one of the porthole windows as he walked past and peered inside. The sight beyond filled him with an unnameable loathing. A quartet of wide pillars rose up to a cloud of ivory-hued vapour. Girdling them at 6 evenly spaced heights were wide, splaying wheels with spokes that leant gently downwards, each turning slowly in contra-rotation to the one below. Upon each spoke was a curving, glass-fronted pod. Inside each was the barest flicker of movement. Something tiny was twitching inside each of the containers. Incubator carousels, each with an infant Tau life form inside. 4 pillars, 4 castes. Presumably, the geometric markings adorning each pillar corresponded to the elements that made up the Tau race. Their newborn were engineered then, rather than raised from childbirth by natural parents. Just like these Tau to pervert the miracle of life into an automated process, thought Numitor, no doubt as far removed from their own natural life cycle as they could possibly make it. To a warrior from their traditionalist arcologies of Kalth, the notion was disgusting in the extreme. One of the nearest pods revolved so it sat directly in Numitor's line of vision. The Tau inside it was no bigger than a bolter clip, its thin limbs crossed across its chest like the relief sculpture upon a blood angel's sarcophagus. Unlike a human infant, its head and limbs were in perfect proportion to those of adult Tau lifeforms. Humanoid, but so very far from a true human that it made the sergeant feel sick to look upon it. There was another movement, too, in the back of the chamber, a flash of white in the far reaches of the room. Numitor itched with the urge to act, his blood singing as his augmented nervous system dumped a fresh batch of stimulants into his veins. Out of the ivory mist came a disc-like drone, larger than those he had encountered at the reservoir. It had underslung manipulator limbs, scopes and syringes, somehow reminding Numitor of an apothecary's narthecium and reductor. One of the appendages contained a milky fluid that dripped from a long valve-tipped pipette. Numitor half saw and half felt a blue line of light flicker across his features as the drone's sensor array scanned him for an identity match. His hand was already reaching for a grenade when the machine's alarm rang loud, its limb apparatus jerking in automated panic. The infant Tau in the pod started squalling as one, their meditative repose replaced by clawing, thrashing frenzy. They hammered tiny fists on the glass fronts of their incubators, the sound rolling together into the far distant rumble of wars to come. Two more drones emerged from the gloom. Pulse weapons, stocky and lethal, projected from under the lip of their disc-like bodies. They came towards the door at pace. Numitor drew back his power fist and put all his weight behind the punch, slamming it through the plexiglass with a jolting impact that sprayed shattered fragments across the incubator room. A plasma shot took layers of ceramite from his knuckles as one of the drones stitched the door with burning white light. Wrenching his fist back out, Numitor stuck his bolt pistol through with his forearm braced on the edge of the porthole. The drones were easy targets. Two placed shots, two detonations, and they were blown to pieces. The larger monitor drone was caught in the second explosion and flew in a wide spiral through the air, trailing smoke as its carer limbs twitched senselessly beneath.
"Sergeant," said Duolor, "the true fight does not lie here. We must continue onward if we are not to be left behind." "Of course," replied Numitor, shutting his eyes tight for a moment before heading down the corridor after Squad Sicarius. "Of course, there will be far stranger sights to come."
Sicarius, some distance ahead, patched through on the vox.
"Numitor, get up here. We're keeping true to your heading. It's led us into a warren, all right. There's enough in the way of Xenos cogitators here to make a tech priest choke."
Ignoring the stab of annoyance he felt at his brother's tone, Numitor motioned for his squad to follow him, breaking into a loping run along the widening corridors. He passed through the mangled remains of another vault-like door, emerging into a sterile white-walled chamber so large it could have acted as a hangar for a dozen Thunderhawks. At the chamber's heart were a number of console stations hovering at waist height. Sicarius and his squad were gathered loosely around them. Each console took the form of a wide torus clustered with hololiths. The images coruscating across them were many and varied, but they all had one thing in common. They were without exception devoted to the artifacts of war. Along the walls of the long chamber were wide window-like viewscreens, each long enough for a score of observers to peer inside at once. An oval door portal stood to the side of each one. Numitor paced along the chamber's length, hazard scanning as he went. The drone attack in the interstitial corridor had flooded his system with a sharp buzz of hyperadrenaline, and even with the area secured by Sicarius's conquerors, he was still more than ready to fight. Any Tau that appeared would meet a sudden and grisly death. Through one of the window screens, Numitor saw an imperial city, all ruined archways and shattered buttresses. Broken street lumens adorned every corner. From no few of them, scarecrow bodies hung by the neck, turning limply in an invisible breeze. A crude representation of the two-headed eagle was stencil-sprayed onto every flat surface. Numitor noticed the Aquila's head that represented vigilance and justice wore a stylized hood like that of a hunting bird. No doubt some Xenos technician's idea of wry commentary. In the middle distance were the burnt-out shells of vehicles fashioned in the likeness of Astra Militarum battle tanks. The entire environment had been constructed to be reminiscent of an Imperial Manufactorum district, even down to the scatterings of bullet casings strewn through the streets.
"Training environment," said Numitor.
Nearby, Trondoris grunted in agreement, hefting his eviscerator and looking through the window for signs of life before reluctantly moving away. The next room's window screen was dark, but Numitor's sharpened vision penetrated the gloom easily enough. He was looking across the pale, cratered surface of a moon. Through some artifice of light, it extended impossibly far in all directions. There was even a gentle curve to the horizon. Broken Imperial landers dotted the lunar sprawl. Among them were blackened corpses stretching their claws towards the uncaring void.
"Stop gawping and get up here," said Sicarius,
motioning towards the window at the far end of the gallery-like chamber.
"We're out of options. This is the only way to continue if you want to stick to your original path."
Numitor approached the window around which Squad Sicarius was clustered. Beyond it was a thick green jungle, wreathed in diaphanous clouds of mist. The sergeant peered between the vine-choked trunks that led to the sprawling canopy high above, but he could see no end to the swathes of vegetation stretching into the distance. The idea of plunging into an underground jungle grown specifically as a weapons testing ground did not sit well with Numitor, but Sicarius had a point. If they were to continue their heading along the projected course, they would have to venture into that artificial worldscape and find a way out of the other side.
Right, said Numitor, flexing his power fist and smashing the plexiglass viewscreen into jagged shards. Let's get started.
Squads Sicarius, Numitor, and Antellion trudged through the sludgy morass of the jungle floor. As well as its tangled mat of thorny vegetation, the artificial environment was thick with peaty black muck that clung to their battle plate up to the ankle. Every one of the Ultramarines looked around at the slightest sign of movement. There was plenty of it for them to take in, far too much to allow for any clear threat scan. The place was filled with the hooting, calling, and buzzing of 100 different species. Numitor noticed something strange about the jungle's fauna. Every creature larger than his fist had 4 triple-jointed claws and a powerful jutting beak. Most of the truly avian species boasted a profusion of brightly coloured quills from the back of their heads, crests that shook with a percussive rattle every time the space marines passed close by. Here and there, a long-limbed, gibbon-like creature braciated through the canopy. These too had a vicious avian cast to them, their heads more like those of hawks than simians. 3 had come at him, shrieking, but his backhand slap had broken the largest one's neck and sent it crashing into a tree. The creatures had left the 8th alone since then. The ape-like animals reminded the sergeant of something he'd read about in connection with the Tau, but he could not place it, not with the grumbles of his battle brothers vying for his attention.
A world of sterility and order, said Kateros,
looking pointedly at Numitor.
And the 8th still manages to find a sea of foul-smelling muck to traipse through. We've come this far, he replied. Do you wish to turn back?
By way of answer, Kateros merely shouldered his flamer and increased his pace.
There is undoubtedly a quicker way to proceed than this, said Veliton, but not necessarily a more expedient one. We are not native to the planet, and hence we cannot factor in its kill zones.
Quite, added Numitor. When the Adeptus Astartes find their way barred, they forge a new path.
I do not recall that proverb, said Velitan, an edge of uncertainty to his voice.
The warrior was stoic enough to walk across a magma field without complaint, but the idea of imperial doctrine he had not committed to memory filled him with deep unease.
It was first said by one Sergeant Numitor, I believe,
Numitor replied airily.
Valetan looked at him askance before continuing on. In the middle distance, Sicarius was crouching over a flak-armored corpse sprawled face down in a clearing. Even from this far away, Numitor could see it had half of its torso blasted away, the ruddy hue of cooked meat festering under its shattered chest plate. He angled his course towards it. At Numitor's approach, Sicarius grabbed the cadaver roughly by the shoulder and turned it over. A hideous doll's mask stared back. It had a child's sketch of a face, but wrought in flesh and skin.
Vat grown, by the look of it,
said Sicarius, prodding at the thing's pallid neck.
Some artificial facsimile of a human.
Supposed to be an Imperial Guardsman, I'd wager, said Numitor. The science division of their builder caste was testing weapon suites against us before we even arrived. No wonder the native platoons always have the right weapons for the kill.
Something ugly occurred to Numitor. He turned to Sicarius, his tone grave.
Like as not, we'll find some armored meat puppets supposed to represent the Adeptus Astartes.
Sicarius met Numitor's gaze.
Like as not, brother, he replied. We will be playing that role ourselves.
Surrounded by the cushioned upholstery of his analysis cradle, Oveza watched the Gwairon Shah intruders from a dozen angles at once. Below him, the battlesuit hangar bustled with life. He had devised two new weapon prototypes in answer to Commander Bravestorm's request, overseen the latest iterations of the Neuroscience Engram Division, and had ensured his experimental battlesuits were ready for deployment in the unlikely event he got clearance for his field test. But when the intrusion alarms had sounded, he had not obeyed standard evacuation protocols like the others. Instead, he had retired to his sanctum for a moment of meditation, tapping in a hidden override to ensure nobody came looking for him. The Gwairon Shah held no fear for him. In truth, he feared ignorance far more. Within a matter of seconds, he had found himself clicking through the CardaNet's images, assessing the tapestry of war unfolding across the planet, and working out how the Imperial strike teams had located his base of operations. Understanding, as ever, was key to victory. The first of the clashing empires to truly comprehend the mindset and capabilities of the other would secure a critical advantage in every theater of war. It was a thrilling situation, despite the immediate peril that faced Dal Ith. If there was one area of expertise Oveza enjoyed exploring more than any other, it was the science of warfare, and an opportunity to put so many of his projects into practice at once was rare. Not since Arkun Ashar had he felt so alive. In passing the various spectacles of war that the Firecast's CardaNet had accumulated, Oveza had spotted the telltale blue of several Ultramarines warriors making their way through the alphanumeric city hexes. Each of them had a large, bulky backpack, a simple and relatively compact jet propulsion system by the look of it, capable of holding even a Space Marine's great bulk aloft. They were presumably Vanguard troopers, their war gear suites intended to function as primitive versions of the hero's mantle. Their evolving distribution pattern had unspooled before him, and he had run a quick trajectory calculation in his head. The trail of corpses they had left in their wake, Tau and Imperial alike, had begun at a crash site, the resting place of an aircast fighter that had demolished the side of a civilian hex complex. That complex joined arterial passageways that led to the hangar in which he currently worked. Oveza unconsciously made the twin fists of fortunate acquisition, his broad teeth showing in a broad smile. The Imperial shock troopers had made straight for the Earthcast testing labs. In doing so, they had triggered a series of intrusion alarms and a wide-scale withdrawal of personnel. Perhaps their intent was to strike at the workers that kept the city alive, or the scientists that supplied war materiel to the Firecast. He could see why. Without the labors of the Earthcast, Tau society would soon grind to a halt. Oveza pursed his lips, fingers steepling under his chin. Then again, to weaken the firmament of the Tau-Va would take months to achieve, months the Imperium could ill afford with the castes united against them. They had to be after a more specific goal. The scientist extrapolated the invader group's trajectory, extending it all the way to Mount Kanji. He drew in a sharp breath as he realized it would cross Athadra, a set of 5 command towers used as a base of operations by all of the Tau castes, as well as several prominent ethereals. They could not be allowed to reach it. They could not even get close. The Gwairon Shah strike force, bolstered by a unit of ground-born elites they had joined forces with in the Plaza of Boundless Potential, had carved a direct path through Gelbrin's underground sprawl. They had barged their way through a watercast guest suite, a series of meditation chambers, and a genetics farm to reach the Earthcast laboratories beyond. The genetics farm had been compromised beyond recovery. Oveza mentally wrote it off without the slightest twinge of regret. Like raging Krutoxen, the Space Marines had crashed through every sealed door and bulkhead in their path, reaching the weapons testing facilities with disturbing ease before smashing their way into Oveza's favourite war zone, the Petch Dense Terrain Simulator.
"A prime opportunity," said Oveza, punching up a ground-level view of his latest creations. "Prototypes are made to be tested, after all."
Giant battlesuits loomed in the darkness, menacing guardian statues waiting for their master's summons. Oveza picked up a data wand and sketched a series of symbols upon the smallest of the screens. There was a purr of hidden motors, a hiss of stale air, and a sleek black drone slid out from the console to his right. Red lights winked upon the machine's perimeter, an aura of threat emanating from its every hidden panel.
"Ah, Oblotai," said Orveza. "I have a job for you, faithful helper. An engagement your battle parameters should encompass without too much impediment. What do you say to a swift Kaoyon?"
Sicarius ripped another serpent's nest of vines from the canopy above. Around him, his squad slashed their chainswords through clumps of vegetation to force a path through the jungle. His scabbard was fouled with muck, the same black slime that was baked onto the outer layers of his armor. The sergeant was already sick of the sweltering jungle. Numitor had led them into a humid hellhole, more reminiscent of Katachan than the ordered tessellations of Dal Ith's surface. In theory, the idea of fighting right into the Tau command zone was sound enough, and at first Sicarius had seen Numitor's plan as the most direct and brutal way to make an impact on the war at large. In practice, he wasn't sure if he would prefer going overground after all, even if it meant plasma spheres raining out of the sky. Something winked in the distance just for a moment, a light on the edge of vision. Sicarius felt his senses sharpen and his blood thunder with hyperadrenaline. He held up an open hand, staying the advance of his squad.
"Velatan," he hissed, "awaken your Auspex. There's something up ahead."
The familiar swooping click of Velatan's handheld scanner engine panned across the jungle, its machine spirit hungrily searching the undergrowth for major life signs.
"Unknown ident," said Velatan, "on the cusp of effective range. It's a single set of readings, Sergeant. I believe it to be the emission betrayals of a Xenos warsuit, and a large one. It is stationary, however. I can only theorize it is..."
The jungle suddenly came alive, hundreds of birds and insects bursting from nowhere as something shot through the trees towards them. Sicarius caught sight of a cluster of white missiles hairing around the dense vegetation to slam into their midst, detonating hard against Glavius just as he turned his shoulder. The explosion sent him flying back to slam into a vine-clad tree trunk. Just as Sicarius drew his sword, another missile shot through the foliage to strike him full in the chest, pitching him backwards in a ringing blast of noise and light. He felt a moment of weightlessness before he slammed hard into the sludge. He rolled to one side on instinct, another blunt missile thudding into the mulch before detonating with a wet thump that would have taken his legs had he not moved aside. A thousand hot needles danced along Sicarius's spine as the pain of the initial strike filtered through. It just made his bad mood worsen. He shot up with a roar, pistol held high, and blasted the black gunk from his jump pack with a blaze of flame. Another volley of missiles was veering through the jungle towards them, jinking and curving to avoid every liana and frond as they hurtled closer. Sicarius leaned hard to one side as a pair of warheads shot towards him. They missed his throat by a finger's breadth.
"Get in close, dammit!" shouted the sergeant.
His squad were swift to obey. Ketoros, mid-leap, cleared away a swathe of vegetation with a gout of blazing promethium before landing in a shower of embers. Ionzion boosted forward, bolt pistol blasting a brittle curtain of vines to tatters as his battle brothers followed behind. Numitor rocketed past with blurring speed, driving his crackling power fist right through the trunk of a tree to send it toppling over. Sicarius saw a tiny sliver of ochre in the distance, the telltale colour of the Tau warrior caste.
"Got you,"
he snarled, leaning forward to barrel through the dense foliage on twin tongues of flame. A trio of missiles arced in towards him, too fast for him to dodge. Numitor's fallen tree came crashing down on top of them, the quicksilver projectiles unable to avoid the profusion of branches and thorny tendrils suddenly in their flight path. The triple thud of the missile's demise blasted splinters and vines in all directions. Sicarius spared a glance in his fellow sergeant's direction, glad of his foresight. Numitor had ripped a vast slab of the fallen tree's hollow trunk away, using it as a primitive mantlet as he advanced. Squad Antellian were close behind him, splashing through the mire and slashing vines with their combat knives as they fought to keep up. Missiles detonated upon the hard bark of Numitor's improvised barrier, tearing it to flinders. Too little, too late, thought Sicarius. The sergeant and his allies were well within engagement range now. Thumbing his plasma pistol's activation rune, Sicarius leapt onto an outcrop of rock and boosted forward again. Ahead, the patch of ochre he had seen resolved into one of the gunner warsuits that Vespertine's Astra Militarum platoons had called broadsides. More missiles shot from the war machine's shoulder-mounted launchers, from the drones hovering at its shoulders, and from the boxy gauntlets it had in place of hands. It was laying down a barrage of firepower that an entire Devastator squad would struggle to match. Worse still, every missile seemed to have a mind of its own. Two of them peeled off to intercept Sicarius, but this time he was ready for them. He raised his pistol, and a burning sphere of plasma blitzed through the vegetation towards them. It didn't hit them directly, but at maximum discharge, it didn't need to. The sheer blast wave of heat that came from his shot was so intense that both of the deadly cylinders cooked off well before impact. Suddenly, the sergeant was clear. The broadside suit was standing motionless amongst the trees, with a black drone brushing up against its antenna. Triggering maximum burst, Sicarius shot between two thick trunks to hit the battlesuit with the force of an azure thunderbolt. His tempest blade, held out like a spear, plunged deep into the torso unit to impale whatever foul excuse for a warrior hid within. Sicarius was rewarded with a fountain of sparks. The haywire energies played across the giant machine's front, the drone hovering nearby, zipping straight up out of harm's way. The roar of a powerful chainsword came from below as Trondoris shot in towards them. With a cry of righteous hatred, he swung his two-handed eviscerator into the waist of the malfunctioning broadside. The giant toothed blade jutted and jerked as Trondoris ground it through alloy and cable, his every muscle straining for the kill. With a sharp crack, the machine's torso fell back, salvos firing upwards at random from its missile gauntlets as its top half toppled backwards into the mire. Sicarius gave a cry of triumph, grinning fiercely behind his helm as he savoured the taste of victory. Trondoris rammed his eviscerator point first into the suit's disembodied torso, hoping to churn the pilot within into ragged meat. The swordsman scowled, looking up at Sicarius in puzzlement as his blade found no purchase.
"There's nothing in there," he said.
There was a shimmer from Sicarius's flank, and Trondoris evaporated in a sizzling cloud of blood. The Xenos warsuit that came looming out of the jungle was huge, easily twice the size of the broadside walker. Gun shapes flickered on its hulking shoulders, and fingers of plasma burned through the vegetation to stab into the space marines advancing around Numitor. The warsuit's surface constantly rippled with green, brown, and black striations that echoed the foliage behind it to an uncanny degree, and made it almost impossible to delineate. The technological dervish emitted a low hum that set Sicarius's teeth on edge even within his helm. Glitches danced across his readouts, fuzzing his targeting runes and turning his long-range vox to gibberish. A morass of blurring symbols danced across his vision, disturbingly reminiscent of the scrap code feared by the machine god's faithful. Sicarius wrenched his faulty helm from his head with a growl of impatience, slamming it onto his belt with a clang. Every one of his squad was casting about for the assailant that had vaporized Trondoris, muzzles whipping right and left as they desperately sought for the source of the plasma fire that had pulsed from the trees. Incredulity jolted through Sicarius's mind. The thing was right there! How could his brothers not see it? Revealed from its ambush site, the machine was gigantic, a shifting miasma of color taller than a gun bunker. Then it struck him. The warsuit was somehow baffling its electronic presence, projecting camouflage signals so potent they were invisible even to Auspex scans. It moved with almost silent grace through the dense vegetation. All that Sicarius could make out was a susurrus of white noise as it slid from trunk to trunk.
"Helms off!"
shouted Sicarius, raising his pistol to send a ball of plasma searing towards the strange apparition.
It is invisible to machine spirits!
The monstrosity was already boosting up and over the shot, leveling the massive cannon-shaped silhouette of its right arm before firing a shot of its own. Sicarius hurled himself sideways a split second before a column of intense blue fire stabbed down. The blast incinerated the vegetation beneath him and sent up a cloud of scalding grey steam.
Quickly!
Sicarius yelled as he vaulted behind a fallen tree.
Take your helms off, all squads! Hunt with the naked eye!
Glavius was the first to obey. Mag clamping his helm to his waist, he recoiled in shock at the sheer size of the Xenos warsuit suddenly visible before him. He took a bolt pistol shot on reflex, but the round went wide, winging something else entirely, the black disc drone hovering between the trees. It gave a blurt of Xenos tech gibberish as it struggled to remain airborne. Squad Antelian, adapting to the new threat with fluid competence, opened fire. Those near enough to hear Sicarius's order took off their helms and formed a loose skirmish line, loosing a fusillade of mass-reactive bolts from behind tree boles and moss-covered rocks. The ghost suit turned towards them with alarming swiftness, raising the blunt stub of an arm to send out a swarm of tiny projectiles. Impossibly, the miniature seekers collided head-on with every one of the tactical squad's bolts, detonating them in a string of mid-air pyrotechnics. Not a single shot hit home. Then the giant warsuit returned fire, weapon arm projecting a column of white fire that incinerated two ultramarines as it leapt back between the trees. Right into the path of Jorus Numitor. With a defiant yell, Numitor slammed his power fist home into the battlesuit's knee joint. The blow tore away its lower leg in a gout of clear fluid and crackling sparks. With its shroud tech disrupted, the giant's disembodied limb flickered ochre and white as it toppled into the muck. Reeling from Numitor's attack, the warsuit engaged the jet engine array at its back and shot vertically upwards, bursting through the jungle canopy in a shower of loose vegetation.
After it!
Shouted Sicarius, soaring upwards on a column of blue fire. All of his squad, bar Glavius, still lumbered with his sergeant's empty jump pack, launched themselves after him. There was a moment of thrashing green-black motion, and Sicarius blasted into the warm haze of artificial sunshine atop the canopy. A cloud of jade mantids billowed around him as he cast about for his prey. Every time one of his squad burst from the foliage to join him above the canopy, the sergeant span around, pistol leveled, but the Tau warsuit was nowhere to be seen. Sicarius shut down his jump pack engines, coming to rest on a thick and twisted bough as he scrutinized the horizon for any signs that would betray his quarry. Numitor joined them in an explosion of leafy fronds. His expression was that of the hunter whose spear had already pierced the prey, eager to finish the kill.
"It's gone, brother," said Sicarius. "No sign of it."
He shaped quite another message with his fingers, however, using the sea cant of the Talasarian ocean gangs, a language he had taught Numitor years ago during the doldrums of an interstellar hall.
"Watch the insects."
Numitor gave a slight nod. Suddenly, his eyes widened. Sicarius was already turning as a cloud of scintillating mantids flocked upwards on his flank. He leapt to the side, pistol roaring as he sent a blazing white fireball right past the column of fusion energy, searing the air in his wake. The plasma bolt connected with the shimmering ghost image behind the mantid swarm. Burning liquid splashed across the warsuit's hull. Its camouflage systems shorted, flickered through a dozen colours, and died altogether to reveal an ochre monstrosity missing a lower limb. The thunder of bolt pistols echoed loud as squads Numitor and Sicarius opened fire. One mass-reactive shot after another cratered the ghost suit's carapace, each explosion so fierce it would have ripped an unarmored Tau in half. The warsuit was punched off balance, flailing a club-like arm against Katoris's jetting gout of promethium. Numitor came in fast from its blindside and struck it with a thunderous uppercut. The thing was hurled backwards, smashing through the canopy in a cacophony of snapping timber to crash down into the black mire beneath. Looking down, Sicarius could just make out a drone darting in to press its antennae against those of the fallen giant. He made to take a kill shot, but his plasma pistol had yet to recharge.
"Is it dead?" asked Numitor.
"Aye," replied Sicarius. "It's dead."
"Good. We must be on the right track if these are the creatures they sent to stop us."
"Perhaps," agreed Magros. "Perhaps these Tau are merely testing us, seeking to take our measure just as we seek to take theirs."
"Then they shall find us more deadly than they ever imagined," said Sicarius, turning and dropping back down through the canopy without a backward glance.
The stone dragon watched the intruders upon a bank of curving screens, a hemisphere of images that curved around the front of his analysis cradle. His eyes, darting and flickering rapidly, controlled the flow of information cascading across the displays. A slight smile creased the wrinkled, noseless slab below. On the upper left was displayed the double waveform of the trespassers' heartbeats and the breathing patterns of their multiple lungs. They had inbuilt redundancies for their vital organs, noted Oviza approvingly. Whoever had designed this warrior species knew his craft. On the upper right screens were displayed the flatlining signals of the prototype they had just shattered. The upscaled stealth suit had been tentatively named the XV-98, later nicknamed the Ghost Keel by his aides. The name had stuck. The battle suit had been inspired by Oshasera's analogies concerning Khan Jian spirits, after all, and it was all but invisible to sensors. Its electronic countermeasures had worked well, up to a point, as had its mirage generators. The mantle was still a long way from perfect, and the impromptu Cao Yon ambush had been only a partial success. Still, it had been more than worth it for the data harvest. The flood of logistics information harnessed by Oveza's analysis cradle was not theoretical data, nor the conclusions of a puppet war waged against the Earthcast's best estimates. This was the real thing, empirical evidence, intoxicating in its purity. One of the trespassing Gueron Shah was speaking to its fellows in short sentences, curt and efficient. The spooling autotrans underneath each intruder's image made a decent job of converting it to the Tau language, though Oviza would have to bring a member of the Watercast into his confidence if he wished to understand the finer points of their speech. No matter, he thought, their actions spoke loudly enough by themselves. As he watched, the warriors with the bulky flight packs removed their helms. Even the Ghost Keel prototype was a formidable terror weapon against such superstitious foes. The idiocy of the invaders leaving their most vital location vulnerable would have surprised Oviza had he not already witnessed these strange, impulsive creatures acting with little more intellect than an orc. Straying into a network of the enemy's weapons testing arenas showed a fatal lack of wisdom in itself. Oviza was more than willing to make use of it and would broadcast his findings across Dal Ith and beyond. A tiny screed of data played across the mantle screen of the suite. It was Oblotai blipping the signal of his approach. Oviza sat upright, got out of the arch-backed viewing station, and bowed deeply to the shiny black disc hovering towards him.
"Ah, helper Oblotai," said the stone dragon. "A fine performance out there."
"I think not," replied the drone in a disappointed monotone. "Only a single casualty and a cutting-edge battlesuit lost. Clearly death has not improved my martial skill set."
"One confirmed kill, yes," said Oviza. "But think of the data, my friend."
The Earthcast scientist's eyes were alight with the glow of enthusiasm.
"In many ways, I'm glad we gave these Gueron Shah a chance to do so much. Actual battle data from a wide variety of weapons over more than 6 microdecks of engagement, and not a single Tau life lost in the process. That is truly a great success."
Oblotai wobbled the disc of his fuselage from side to side in grudging agreement.
"Every parameter has been recorded and properly marshalled," continued Oviza. It is only awaiting compilation before I sign it over to the Firecast for the betterment of the war effort. This is a breakthrough, War Ghost, nothing less.
If you say so, said Oblotai, though next time I shall take a far greater toll.
Of course you will,
said Oviza indulgently, passing the tip of his data wand over the drone's forward lip. A series of green-blue lights winked along its length as Oblotai's own data harvest cascaded into the Earthcast databanks.
I believe there is yet more opportunity to be exploited, if you are willing, said Oviza.
Of course. Information is the key to victory. Should my sentience be damaged beyond recovery, I shall die once more in the name of the greater good.
And who could ask more? But this time, my faithful helper, you shall not go alone. It is time our false patch fought back.
I see, said Oblotai doubtfully. Did Commander Farsight not condemn the active elements of the Pech Project as a dangerous precedent?
He did indeed. Technically, however, he holds no influence over Earthcast protocols. And whilst we have such an unparalleled chance to put our guests to the test, it would be counterintuitive not to use it.
In this instance, perhaps it is forgivable to test the capabilities of the foe rather than the weapon.
Quite so. In fact, there is another early model prototype we might wish to try out whilst the data flows so freely. I am sure honored Fio O Bok'an Ishuron will forgive us once he has seen the field data we accrue.
The drone Oblotai bobbed a foot higher in the air.
The KV-120.
The very same, replied Oviza.